it's not probably full. It's probably been left on for too long. So there's hardly anything in it. I'll delete the memory. It'll be all right. I don't even need the memory. I don't even need the older what's called to be.
Once they're uploaded to the site, that should be enough.
That's right, exactly. So I don't need it anymore.
That's the Yankee, that is the purpose. You do it the other way around, then you can't move.
Right. Yep. So good morning, Rabbosai. We continue our story of we're up to the fourth of the Asara Rugi Malchus, Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon. Some say his name was Rabbi Hanania ben Tradyon or Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon. As we said, he was he visited Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosef ben Kisma died, and on the way back from the Levi, the Romans, I keep on saying the Germans, but the Romans caught Rabbi Hanina ben Tradyon teaching Torah in public, and they arrested him, they burnt him at the stake. And they did it in such a way, they put wet cotton wool on him so that he shouldn't die quickly. His daughter said to him, one of his daughters, right? One of his daughters was taken into captivity, but one of his daughters was free. She was Bruria, and she became later the wife of Rabbi Meir. Abba, erech habakach, omer, yeah, how can I suffer to see you suffering in this way? Omer lo, il mole ani nistrafti levadi hoyadova koshali. He said, the fact that I'm being burnt at the stake, that I'm being moisen nefesh al kiddush Hashem, I could survive that. Ob achshav shani nistraf v'sefer Torah imi, mi bevakesh al boina shel Torah, hu yivakesh al boini. In other words, he said that it bothers me more that I'm being burnt with the Sefer Torah, and the Rabbeinu Shalom should take revenge on those who are burning the Sefer Torah. Omer le Talmidov, and his Talmidim said to him, so his Talmidim were around him as well. And this is one of the reasons why we wonder whether or not this was actually happening in the palace of the Roman governor, when according to Eile Eskro, there were 10 tzaddikim all together. Yeah, this sounds like a separate issue, but his daughter is there, and his Talmidim are around him. And they speak to him, and Rebbe, ma toroya. So they said to him, what do you see? Omer lahen, he said, Gilion Yisrofim, Vois Yois, Porichois, Bavir. Yeah, that I see that the parchment is burnt, but the letters have left the, what's it called? We had the same thing again with the Beis HaMikdosh. It says there, the Rabbeinu Shalom, Shofach Kasoi Al Eitzim V'Avonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu burnt the building. The building was burnt down, but in fact the Shekhinah had already left there. The Shekhinah was unharmed. Yeah. And then it says, Omoloi Kaltsantoiniri. The Kaltsantoiniri, who was the person who was the executioner, yeah, said to him, Rebbe, Imani Mabe Vashalheves, Venoitis Fugashal Tseme Mialibacho Atomavien Lachayo Nomabo. If I make things easier for you, I remove the cotton wool and I increase the fire. Yeah, I increase the fire. Will that give me a place in Olam Habo that you will die quicker? Amalei Hein Ishavali. He said, swear to me. Va'nishbaloi miyad hirva b'shalheves menos v'gan shatzem aliboy v'yotzon nishmosoi behero. It says that he Yotzon Ishmosa Behera is going on Reb Hanina ben Tradyon. Reb Hanina ben Tradyon died quicker than he would otherwise have died. Afu Kofatz v'nofal l'seichel uir Yotzon Askova Omer Reb Hanina ben Tradyon v'kal tzatzanayuniri, that they're both mezumenin hein l'chai huayin ma'abo. Bocha Rebbe v'Omer, everybody knows this expression. Rebbe said, Yesh koina oiloma b'shoa achas. Reb Hanina ben Tradyon worked all his life, and he was moisa nefesh in order to achieve a place in Olam Habo, and this Kaltsantoiniri, this executioner, gained himself a place in Olam Habo with 1 second of teshuvah. And that's why we always say, a second of sincere teshuvah can earn you a place in Olam Habo, even if Rabbi Chanan the son of a person has done averus, but if it's sincere, and that's the idea of vidui before a person's nifta, a sincere teshuvah can get a person straight to Olam Habo, despite the fact that he's done other things during his lifetime.
All these people were killed at different times.
That's what we discussed. Yeah. It's difficult to believe that this particular incident took place in the palace together with all the others. But time-wise, yes. Time-wise, yes. Rabbi Chanina the Tragian, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel the Kohen Gadol.
Start of the Torah in Northwest London, Friday, Yud Ches Tammuz, 3rd of July. Rabbi Menachem Selesnik Shalita, author of Words Change Worlds. Pinchas, bringing urgency to our mouths during the 3 weeks. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Nishmas Esther Basarav Meir Olei Hasholem, and in honor of the upcoming marriage of Shira Shetichyat Yehuda Shani Neriyoy, and also Lil Nishmas Rab Nosson Ben Rab Nosson Alevi, whose yahrzeit was last Shabbos, Lil Nishmas our esteemed founder, Rab Yosef Dov Ben Rab Shim Michal Tzvi Itzkevet Zichrono Libracho.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for having me back. We've started the 3 weeks, and as we know, Chazal tell us that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. But if you have a look in the Chofetz Chaim, he explains that if you look at all the stories that we have from that time, it's clear that there was Sinas Chinam for a while. The story of Kamsa by Kamsa, that Sinah was there for a while. The difference was that the sinner came out into this world through Lashon Hara. And therefore, the Chofetz Chaim says that when the Gemara says that it was Sinas Chinam that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it was the sinner as it was brought into this world through Lashon Hara. And therefore, obviously, this is a time to focus on working on improving our mouth. I think when I was last here, we mentioned that the Chofetz Chaim says that there are seven triggers or catalysts that make us speak Lashon Hara, and he gives us an acronym, Kol Gehenem, All Hell, very easy to remember, All Hell Breaks Loose. Kol Gehenem is Ka'as, Anger, Leitzonus, Mockery, Joking, Gaiva, Arrogance. Yud is for Yeyush, Despair, I'll Never Achieve It, So What's the Point? Hey for Hefker, which we'll talk about soon. Nun for Nirgonus, which means a complaining nature. If you complain about everything, you always see the cup half empty. So obviously you're going to be complaining about people and speaking badly about people. And Mem for Mutter, people who go around saying, oh, but it's allowed. Oh, no, I'm doing it L'Toyeles. They're not doing it L'Toyeles. And even if they are, they're not fulfilling the conditions, nor do they know the Tanoim to say something L'Toyeles. Okay? Those are the seven big drives or things that make us speak Lashon Hara. It's important to understand this. If we're going to be working on improving our speech for the next 3 weeks, we need to understand where it comes from. Let's look at Hey, Hefker. Hefker means free, without owner, free for all. And the Chofetz Chaim explains that we have a fascinating thing, a fascinating situation when it comes to Shmiras HaLashon. And that is that there's no societal control. It is a free-for-all. As I say to my Talmidos, you could be invited to a Shabbos meal. And if the family are from, you can pretty much guarantee that they keep Shabbos and the food is kosher. Certain situations with certain hechsherim, but overall, you can pretty much be clear that the food that's going to go into your mouth is going to be kosher. But could you guarantee that the fact that the people are from, that the words that are going to go into your ears, the words that are going to come out of their mouth at that table, can you guarantee that that's going to be kosher? And unfortunately, everybody in this room knows that the answer is, no, I cannot guarantee that. It is extremely hard to find the bubble of Shmiras HaLashon. Yes, of course, in every community there are individuals who are working on this, who are striving, building, being careful. But to find a whole community where I know that if I go into this community, I'm guaranteed? Nah. I teach Baalei Teshuva, or young ladies who are on their way to becoming Baalei Teshuva. And they say to me, you know, Rabbi, how am I supposed to keep Shabbos? And the simple answer is, you're going to find it difficult keeping Shabbos when you are the only person in your neighborhood keeping Shabbos. That's what do you need to do? You need to move into the bubble of Shmiras Shabbos. That's what you need to do. You need to move, at least for Shabbos, into a community where everybody around you is keeping Shabbos. Nobody's on their phone. Nobody's watching TV. And therefore, obviously, it's going to be easier for you. Go and find that bubble for Shmiras HaLashon. It's very, very, very difficult to find. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very, very difficult to find the bubble, not the individuals, the bubble, the whole community. So what do we have to say to ourselves, you know, when we're stuck here in a place, not necessarily here, when we're stuck wherever it is that we're stuck, in a place and people are speaking Lashon Hara around us and there's this tremendous need to be part of a community, Chanufa, to suck up to big people who unfortunately are speaking Lashon Hara. So I don't have an easy solution. All I can say is that we are all descendants of Avram HaIvri, including any Gerim. Gerim are considered to be descendants of the first Nadiv, Avram Avinu. Ivri, the term Avram HaIvri was an insult. You understand that? Simple pshat of that word is Avraham the foreigner, Avraham the alien. Yes, that's what they called him, Avram from the other side. Right? As he was walking through Canaan. Oh, it's Avram, the foreigner. Right? However, Chazal find within that word an unbelievable praise for Avram Avinu, that he stood on the other side of the world to everybody else. He was the only monotheist among a world of pagans. Can you imagine how unbelievably difficult that was? To stand up for your principles, despite the fact that every single person around you thought different. You were the weirdo. You were the odd one. Avram Avinu did that. And we are all his descendants. We have his spiritual DNA. And throughout history, we have seen people who have stood up. Just before, we heard of somebody who was able to stand up to be burnt alive for teaching Torah in public. Throughout history, we have people like that. This week's Parsha, Pinchas. We have people who are willing to say, this is not acceptable. I won't be quiet. I won't stand still and not do something about this. Rosh Shimshon Falhesh says that the name Pinchas, for those who like dikduk here, it's not Pinchas, right? It's Pinchas, right? Because after a chirik and followed by a yud, the shvo is always pronounced. Pinchas. Rav Hirsch suggests that the real name is Pinchas. We do find that name Pinchas once with the son of Eli HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. Once he's called Pinchas without the Yud.
And the Torah is spelled two ways, sometimes with Yud, sometimes without.
It is?
No.
I think it's just with... with
Yud.
Yeah? So, Rav Hirsch suggests that the real name is Pinchas without a yud. However, when he went out of his way to stand up for Hashem's word, Hashem gave him a new name. P, my mouth, Hashem is saying, my mouth, Nachas, which is related to the word Nachatz. Nachutz, which means urgency or driven. He was urgent or driven to fulfill the word of Hashem. And perhaps we can take that name. And so we're starting this week, as we're starting the 3 weeks. Pinachas. We have to have urgency with our mouth. My mouth is urgent to fulfill the word of Hashem. One of the hardest areas of standing up for what Hashem wants from us in the area of Shemiras HaLashon is actually not speaking. When it comes down to it, it's my mouth, so I can control my mouth. Okay? I'm not saying it's easy. It is hard. It is difficult. Somebody's pressuring you to say something. You're part of a group where everybody's contributing something and you're the silent one. I agree that's difficult. But at least it's my mouth. But the area that I think is the hardest is listening. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to put my hand on your mouth? I'm now going to have to take control of this conversation while you are feeding me this Lashon Hara that I don't want to hear. The issa of listening to Lashon Hara comes from the pasuk Lo Sisa Shem Hashav. The Chofetz Chaim says this means you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara. But you're also not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. You're not allowed to turn your ears to listen to Lashon Hara. Why? What could possibly be wrong with listening to Lashon Hara? Let's say I have a friend who, he's just got the best stories. He comes up, it's just so much fun to listen to him. But I know from experience that 99% of the stuff that he says isn't true. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with me listening? It's like a novel, right? What's wrong with me listening to this person speak badly about somebody else? Oh no, I'll listen, I'll be entertained, and I'll walk away and I won't believe it. What's wrong with listening when I know I won't believe? And the Chofetz Chaim essentially suggests three reasons behind this halacha. The first is that when you listen to something, even if you have no intention of believing, it seeps in and it changes your perspective. Even if you don't believe it. I'll give you a perfect example. If you'll allow me to talk about bodily hygiene from this Kodosh place, right? I wear deodorant, okay? For years, I live in Eretz Yisrael, and for years I was flying back regularly to work as an optometrist. I work around the corner here. I would buy a particular brand of deodorant that was available only in England. It was the brand I'd always worn. And you know, it's difficult to change your brands, but whatever. And then Corona happened. I wasn't able to fly anymore. I ran out of deodorant. Lots of much more terrible things happened, but I ran out of deodorant. And I didn't know what to do. And my wife was going shopping that day. I said to her, would you mind buying me some deodorant? She said, sure. So she comes back, I come back at the end of the day, I'd been teaching that day, I came back, go to the bathroom, open the cabinet, there is this new deodorant from a company called Gillette. You know, Gillette, they make generally male, although they do have a female branch now, generally male body hygiene things, razors, shaving cream, deodorants, etc. Okay? Now, I'm interested because this is the way my mind works. I have an interesting mind. I said to my wife, do you mind me asking, of all the different brands, why did you buy this one? And my wife gave a little smile. She gave a shrug and she said, well, you know, Gillette, the best a man can get, which when we were growing up, and I'm sure many of you have heard this, was the jingle for every single Gillette ad for years. Now, my wife is a well thought out person. She's highly intelligent. And if I was to sit down with her and I was to say, one second, do you really believe that Gillette is the best? No, of course she doesn't believe that. All the brands are the same. It could even be that one of the other brands is better. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether she believes it or not. It seeps in. And it changes her perspective so that when she's in the store and she sees all of these different things, that's the one she takes. Chazal learned two halachas from this posuk, Lo Sisa Shem Hashav. The first is, as we said, that you're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. The second is, for a dayan, when a dayan is listening, is going to be dealing with a dispute between two people, he is not allowed to hear the first person explain his side of the story when the other person isn't sitting there. Explains the Chofetz Chaim, it's exactly the same halacha. Ideally, we would have the dayan listen to both at the same time. Because if he hears one first, it's already changed him. It's already seeped in. We can't, we're human, we cannot hear two stories at the same time. But at least, somebody's got to go first, but at least the other person should be sitting there. So the dayan is thinking, he's saying, but the other guy's there, I still need to hear the other side. And that will stop it seeping in. So this is the first reason. It seeps in even if you don't believe it. The second reason is that you are enabling the speaker to speak. If you weren't there, the person wouldn't say Lashon Hara. Oh, you'll say, oh, but what about all these other people? The Chofetz Chaim is very clear. If you say Lashon Hara to five people, that's five Averus. Okay? So if one person less is there, that's one less Averus. You are enabling and encouraging the person to speak. And the third reason that the Chofetz Chaim gives for not listening to Lashon Hara, why Hashem says we shouldn't be listening to Lashon Hara, is what I call gladiator. You could go back a few thousand years. Recently I had a stopover in Rome. I had a day in Rome. And I had the opportunity to go and visit the Colosseum, which, if you know, was built by Jewish slaves straight after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, many of whom died in the building of this building. And after it was built, many of whom were then fed to the lions as entertainment for the thousands of people who would come and watch and cheer. And there were also gladiators who were generally slaves who were forced to be there, they didn't want to be there, who had to fight each other to the death for other people. And as their limbs were ripped off and blood was spurting, everybody was cheering, way, and at the end, the one gets on the other one on the ground with his trident. He says, turns to the audience, and they have to decide, is this person going to live or die based on how bravely he fought? And perhaps we don't do that today. We don't actually rip off limbs for entertainment. But we do rip people apart for our entertainment. The gossip industry is probably the largest growing industry in the world, with magazines and video clips, all about the stars and this one and that one. And in the frum world, there's something called frum Lashon Hara, which I agree is an oxymoron. But we all know what it is, what this rabbi said about that rabbi, and did you hear what happened in that community last night? And all of it is just for entertainment. What does it say about us, and what are we doing to ourselves, that we get our entertainment from listening to somebody being ripped apart? So for these three reasons. For these three reasons, the Chofetz Chaim says explains that Hashem says that we're not allowed to listen to Lashon Hara. So the question is, how? We started off by saying we're descendants of Avraham Avinu, right? We have this strength and power to be able to stand up for what's right. How? So, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. Somebody comes along and says Lashon Hara to you, was about to say Lashon Hara. You're supposed to tell them, you're not allowed to do that, it's Lashon Hara. You feel comfortable doing that? I mean, most of the people in the room are English. We've grown up in England, where manners are important. Yes, you have to, you know, speak nicely. Yeah. You feel comfortable doing that? But that's the halacha. However, the Chofetz Chaim brings Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, but you have a chiyuv to do this. However, if it's going to make it worse, you're not allowed to. The whole point of a chiyuv is to make a difference. It's not to make you, to fulfill your ego. I'm the right one here and you're the wrong, and I've had my say. No, it's that this person should start listening to Hashem. Definitely it shouldn't be that this person is now going to do more of the aveira that they're doing. Now, I don't know what your experience is, but my experience is that when somebody is in full flow with the gossip and you start saying that's Lashon Hara, the vast majority of the time you just trigger them to speak more Lashon Hara. They're straight back at you and say, what are you talking about? If you knew what I knew, then you do it even more. Or they start to justify it's Toyeles. Of course it's not Toyeles. The vast majority of the time it's not Toyeles. Okay? Really? The person sat down and worked through the conditions? In my experience, it only makes it worse. And the Chofetz Chaim is clear. If it's going to make it worse, the mitzvah of Hochech Techech doesn't apply. Similarly, as we know, Rashi explains the end of the pasuk there. Hochech Techech Zamisech Ablo Siso Alav Chet. Simple pshat, by the way, of that pasuk is what the Gemara says. about Rabbi Elazar ben Azara and his cow. Yes, the Mishnah in Shabbos says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azara's cow went out with a string between its horns, and the Chachamim had decided that that's called carrying for a cow. Okay, on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what do you mean one cow? He gave 12,000, I think it was. 12,000 calves for Bechairus every year, which means that every year he had 120,000 new calves, right? Because you give a tithe. Does that make sense? Not Bechairus, Maisa. Masa Behema. He gave Masa Behema as a tenth, and that was 12,000 calves. So he clearly had more than one cow. And you wouldn't say, you'd say either one of his cows or his cows. You wouldn't say his cow. And the Gemara therefore says that no, it wasn't his cow, it was his neighbor's cow. But because he sat there and didn't do anything about it, he could have said. So it's viewed as if he did it. Like we see with the story of Kamsa by Kamsa. And the Rabbonim who were sitting there, they didn't say anything. And therefore they have a part to play in this terrible thing. And Gemara criticizes them for that. That's simple pshat in the pasuk. Speak up, because otherwise it's like you did the Avera. But Rashi brings the Medrash that says that when you do your Echech Tochiyach, then you've got to make sure you do it in a way that's not an Avera. So you're not embarrassing the person in public. Often when a person's saying Lashon Hara, yeah, and you're straight back into them and you say, that's Lashon Hara, there's other people around. It's very embarrassing. So look, if you can do this, it's great. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. If you can do it in a good way, a non-judging way. It's weird. If I was about to eat some non-kosher meat and you ran over to me and you said, Menachem, it's non-kosher. Wait, it's not kosher. You're eating non-kosher. You know what I would say? What would I say?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But if you were to come and say, that's not Shema, that's not Shema. Do you know what? Inside of me, I would immediately want to start defending myself. Especially, I'm the rabbi who teaches about Shema and Lashon, even more so. But I definitely want to start defending myself. Why is it? The answer is really simple. When you tell me that's non-kosher, I'm thinking that you're thinking, oh, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the facts. But when you come along and say that's Lashon Hara, what do you mean I don't know the facts? What are you talking about? If I didn't learn, I should have learned. Yeah? So you know what I'm thinking when you say to me that's Lashon Hara? I'm thinking, you think I'm not from enough. And when you say to me I'm not from enough, oh, inside of me I have to stand up and fight. And that's why it often doesn't work. But if you can do it in a completely non-judgmental way, perhaps a joking way. Oh, please excuse me. I'll tell you. Somebody once wanted to come and speak Lashon Hara to me in the early years when I was really involved with learning this. And I said to him, I said, you have to excuse me. Right now I'm on fire because I'm learning Hilchos Lashon Hara Be'ian, right? Come back in 6 months and then we'll see how, maybe I can hear it then. And he laughed and whatever, and we moved on. See if you can find a joking way to do it, a non-judgmental way. Or you know that this person really wants to go in Shmuel Solashin himself and he's just slipped and, you know, oh, we probably shouldn't be saying this. You say a we language, sure. But otherwise, it's only going to make it worse. So what other options do we have? Chazal tell us why our fingers made like pegs so that they can fit comfortably inside your ear. It would be nice if it was something else. I could have, I don't know, knife and fork. The end of my fingers, I could have other implements. But no, they're made like this so they fit comfortably inside your ears. Is that what you're supposed to do? Chances are that's going to make things worse as well. So what do you do? So I asked Rav Yitzchok Berkovitz, who actually wrote the lesson of Dei Chofetz Chaim, the beige one with the picture of the Chofetz Chaim on the front. And he said to me, the best thing to do is distraction. Distraction. Just change the topic in the middle of the conversation. And I personally have found that the best way to do that is to ask a question about the speaker themselves, which implies a compliment. They could be in the middle of speaking to me, and I'll say, wow, your tie is really lovely. Where'd you get it from? And because I'm complimenting them with this distraction, they are completely caught up with that compliment. And they'll say, oh, blah, blah, blah. Now, obviously, if somebody's coming and they are speaking to you because they need emotional support, and therefore there really could be toyeles, don't start distracting them with their tie, right? In such a situation, you're allowed to listen. You're allowed to listen if it's likely to be a toyeles. Either they're coming to warn you of something, or they need emotional support from something heavy. Obviously, don't start distracting them then. But if it's just what I would call background gossip to fill space, because people feel that they need to fill space, they can't deal with quiet. So then, it's very easy. They're not completely sold on this piece of gossip that they're telling you, in most cases. And therefore, you just distract them. Now, obviously, you can't just talk about their tie and then stop, because they'll just come back. So you have to keep it going. You have to have that conversation. Oh, yeah, I went there, blah, blah, blah. And then I got this one. And then you keep the conversation going and you move it onto another topic. And I agree, this is very, very difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. It is difficult. But it is possible. And with practice, it gets better. The thing to think is this. If somebody was to be coming with a fork, with a piece of bacon on that fork, and it was coming up to you and trying to force feed it into your mouth, would you say, but it's rude. It's rude. Listen, you know, I'm a good English person, right? It's rude to sort of go, no, you wouldn't. So he too. The worst they'll think is you've got ADHD. And it's everybody's got ADHD nowadays. It's not a big deal. But most of the time, I'm telling you, I've done this repeatedly. Repeatedly. Most of the time, they're not even aware that you've done it. But it takes practice. And you have to do it again and again and again and again. Or, have you ever noticed how unbelievably rude it is? Unbelievably rude that you could be in the middle of a conversation with somebody. They're in the middle of speaking. Suddenly you go, oh no, sorry, 1 second, I'm buzzing. Hello? Yeah? Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah, I'm coming straight away. Okay. You'll have to excuse me, I've got to go. Isn't that rude? Can you imagine? I'm speaking to you and suddenly I put my hand in your face and I'm sorry, I've got to just. And yet, it's a rudeness that is accepted in society. And since it's accepted in society, milk it. Use any possible available thing. You could go to the bathroom. I have, in certain situations where I tried everything else and it wasn't working, my stomach has suddenly just gone and I had to. Please excuse me. And I was there for a while. By the time I had come back, the conversation had moved on. My point here is to stand up for who you are. To stand up for the fact that Hashem has told us we're not allowed to listen. Nevertheless, the Chofetz Chaim ends this particular topic, and I will end with this. The Chofetz Chaim ends this particular topic by saying there are certain times where you tried everything and it's not going to work. You tried distracting. Perhaps you said it's Lashon Hara. Okay. What are you supposed to do now? Says the Chofetz Chaim. If you are stuck, if you didn't go there specifically to listen, it's not like a Lashon Hara gathering. You went there for a simcha, or you went there for a Shabbos meal, or you went there to daven, right? You didn't go there for the Lashon Hara. And you've tried to get out of it, but you can see it's not working. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you're allowed to listen, but you have to do three things to combat the three problems we said at the beginning. Number one, as they're speaking to you, you have to think really, really carefully in your mind, I don't believe this. Why? How can you say I don't believe this? Surely somebody's saying something to you, it must be true. The answer is, actually not. People the whole time are saying things that are exaggerated or based on their bias, or they've misunderstood a situation, they missaw a situation. So you say, I don't believe it, in your mind, you think carefully. Number two, you show nothing on your face that encourages the person to speak. You definitely don't say, I agree. But even your face, you keep it stone cold. And the third thing, you get no enjoyment. Somebody's trying to force feed you pig. To combat the gladiator thing, don't get any enjoyment. You work on not getting enjoyment here. This is uncomfortable, it's unpleasant. So I hope this is going to be our last 3 weeks. Perhaps Mashiach could even come before. Every single day he could come. You don't have to have another Tisha B'Av. Everybody thinks that I have to fight for this. And yes, we can think what's right and wrong. But as soon as we start speaking badly about another group, another person, we're just delaying it. We're just causing more trouble. Why would we possibly want to do that? And this is the time to stand up for what's right. So I wish all of us much hatzlacha in doing that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Short thought also, Parshas Pinchas. So for change, I went deep into the Seder instead of speaking about the beginning of it. And you have the beginning of the Me'adr, so speak about commencing with Rosh Chodesh. And since this weekend, Daf HaYomi spoke about this particular pussy, I thought it would be nice to combine everything together. Pusik says on Rosh Chodesh, the Eibishter said is Ir Izim Echot Lechatos Lashem. Now, how can the Bein Shalom need a Kob Mechatos? And Rashi says, quoting the Gemara, which we learned in Chilin this week, which was Daf Samach, yes, Rabbi Shalom says, Vi ulaika puro. I need atonement. Hashemi atati es hayurech. Rosh Chodesh is a time when the moon is very prolific. It's around the time of the month. And I was miatati es hayurech. Was it quite so? Not really. If you read the Gemara describes that the Rebbein Shalom created the world, and the moon said, it's unbecoming, it doesn't sound right, can't be correct that two kings should be wearing the same, sharing the same crown. Because the Rebbein Shalom made the sun and the moon, and they're both moiras, and they're both large. So the Eibishter says, you know, chi mi'ati es atzmech. Reduce yourself, and therefore you'll be the smaller one. So I heard this vote in the name of the Sasver Rebbe, but I've established that it's quite so, but the vote is a phenomenal vote, because he asked the Kasha, why did the Rebbein Shloilem not reduce the size of the moon himself? If he believes that the Tana is incorrect and he needs to be rebuked, take the moon and reduce him. But the Gemara says no. He says l'chi mi'ati es atzmech. So essentially, I answer the question that the Rebbein Shlom says, yeah, I created the world. It's correct. I made the sun and the moon. They're both moiras gedolim. I have no problem with the fact that both of you are big. You have a problem with that because you came to complain to me. Clearly, it's your problem. And therefore, l'chi mi'ati es atzmech, the only thing that's left for you to do is you work on it, mate. Time for you to reduce yourself. But it doesn't stop there. Because the Gemara goes on. And that I picked up on, because I was piqued, so to speak, by the continuity of the Gemara. The Gemara says afterwards, "Lefi she'umarti Duva Hugin, because I said something which is ostensibly of value and commendable, therefore I should reduce myself. It does not say in the Gemara anywhere that the Ribbono Shel Olam quantified or, how do you say, ratified the words of the Levuna. The Levuna, the moon, said about itself, "Lefi she'umalti duva hugin." So the Ribbono Shel Olam said to him, "You know what? The sun shines by day. You can shine by both. Shine by day, shine by night. And in fact, you can see that there is sometimes a glimmer of the moon in daylight, in the afternoon, or whenever it may be. But you'll never see the sun at night. Maybe in an eclipse, otherwise." Kim Tachos, Amoyer de Kazach. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Lechimiati es atzmech," and now he says to the moon, "Shine by day and by night." Do you know what the moon's response was to the Eibishter? Oh, what use is that? Like we say on Pesach, with regards to a candle and using it by chumetz, if you're going to be boiting by day, shrage b'tihare my mahane. Of what use is a candle in daylight? There's light all around you. Kim tzitzigayim talechtel. What do you need the light for? There's plenty of light. No shortage. No response. So the Gemara goes on. This dialogue continues. But it's clearly evident in the words of the moon that his concern is with regards to what other people are going to say. Because, after all, the sun shines by day. The Ribbono Shel Olam says you're shining by night. You want one-upmanship, so you can shine by day and by night. Ah, so it's an issue of, if I'm shining by day and by night, then clearly I'm more, because he only shines by day. I shine, and I've got the potential to shine at day and at night. So maybe I'm more than the sun. And he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Yeah, but people won't notice me because there's plenty of light." Ah, so it's about people noticing you. It's about how you feel about yourself with regards to others. So then, in which case, the original recipe of Lechimi Atias Atzmeich was highly appropriate. That's your problem. It's time for you to learn to reduce yourself. Time for one more, or should we stop over here? I think let's stop over here. Good Shabbos, thank you very much.
Not that I know, but I would imagine he has property income.
Sign the return.
Don't you ask me? I would imagine so. I mean, he's a member of the Daf for years.
I know you.